This second part of our study about heaven is a wonderful study because of the presence of God in heaven. All the verses that we read of the scripture, as we go to our concordance and read about heaven, we read of the presence of God in heaven. I think no greater verse is found than in John chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, when Jesus said, "No man hath ascended into heaven at any time, save he that came down from heaven." And he talked about the Father in heaven, and how that this one that came down from heaven, speaking of himself, has now delivered him unto you. He delivered the Heavenly Father ideals and plans and ideals of thought and ideals of hope to our lives as he came to this earth to teach us the right things of God. I'll note that Jesus came down from heaven. As the Son of Man, he came down from heaven. As a result of that, he was born in the body of Mary. And as a result of coming forth, he came forth as the angel declared in Matthew 1, beginning verse 18, that he will save his people from their sins. The hope would be that we would have salvation, and the hope is in Jesus Christ that salvation would come, and he came as a result of the Heavenly Father sending him. A little bit later in the book of John, in chapter 17, Jesus prays for the disciples that they might be people who would follow the ways of God and do the right things of the Lord. And our Lord Jesus spoke regarding this situation that he was in. He said, "Father, I have done what thou hast sent me to do. I have done what thou hast sent me to do." What was he doing? He was teaching the right things of God. He was proclaiming the right message of the Lord. As a result of that, Jesus could now then pray, "I have done what thou hast sent me to do." Then he made a request of the Heavenly Father. "Restore unto me the glory," Jesus said. "Restore unto me the glory I shared with thee before the world was." Where was this Heavenly Father? Well, as you've read with me already in John 3 and 14, he was in heaven. And Jesus said, "I came down from thee." As he came down from heaven, he came down from the presence of the Heavenly Father to do the Father's will. Now he's praying back to the Father, saying, "I have done what thou hast sent me to do. Restore unto me the glory I shared with thee before the world was." Think just a moment before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And think of that glory that Jesus is speaking of that he shared with the Heavenly Father. A glory that is described in Hebrews 1 as beyond the angels. A glory that he shared as the Son of God as he would come to this earth and live the life that he did. And as he did develop this way of life, saying, "I have done what thou hast sent me to do," he now was going back to the Heavenly Father. He had turned to his disciples in John 16 and had noted to them, "If I do not go unto the Father, he will not send the Holy Spirit unto you. But if I go, the Holy Spirit will come unto you, and how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come," John 16 and verse 13. "How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." These disciples are being taught. These 12 that he has with him are being taught. "He will guide you," the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. "For he shall not speak of himself, He's not coming here to tell you all about his power and his greatness and glory. That'll be shown. But he won't be there talking about it so that you have these words to be used. Rather, he will tell you the truth about me. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. This Holy Spirit's word is revealed to you and me through these apostles and the word that they spoke. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, reference is made to this message that came from heaven. It is said regarding this message that came from heaven that man had never thought it. It had never appeared in a man's dreams and visions to speak it. You've read this verse of Scripture several times, I'm sure, at the funeral homes, on the backside or in the front of a brochure that is handed to you. No man has seen, no man hath envisioned, no man hath heard this. But what is it that he's not seen and heard and done? As we read along there in 1 Corinthians 2, read the fullness of the passage, and the context will show you it's in words that he has revealed unto us. Words that he revealed unto us. This Holy Spirit came and he delivered that message. It's a message of truth. It's a message of righteousness. When we practice that way of life, we find a way that we don't have to be ashamed of. We don't have to be feeling guilty about. We don't have to regret that we've done it that way. Because it's the way that God would have us to talk. It's the way that God would have us to act. It's the way that God would have us to serve. So when we tell our friends and neighbors around us who want us to do something evil and wrong, we find ourselves saying that this is not from the Word of God. This is not where God speaks. This is not how we're to do. And Peter says to us in 1 Peter 4, verse 4, that they will think it odd of you, strange of you, that you don't go to the same excesses and rites you used to go with them to. They will pay attention to the fact that you are different. And they will come to you and say, you are not like you used to be. You don't talk like you used to talk. You don't do the things you used to do with us. You don't do the same excesses and rites that you used to do. But they'll know a difference in your life because of the way that you now talk and the way that you now behave. And you are now talking and behaving a way that came directly from heaven. The Father sent the Word by way of His Son. When His Son came back, He sent the Word by way of the Holy Spirit to the apostles. When He sent the Word to the apostles, they sent it to the brethren like at Corinth. Where man did not see, eye hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of a man, the things that God prepared for them that love Him. But he hath revealed these things unto us in words which we speak unto you. Now then, that word has come down to young Timothy as Paul was teaching him. And he tells him the same thing that you've heard and learned of me among many witnesses. The same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So all the way down the stream of time, there were faithful men who heard that message, believed that message, practiced that message, taught it to others. Somebody taught it to you and me. I love the idea of what the Lord had blessed me with and a gift in preaching. My mom and dad thought I had a gift when I was a young man. They talked about it with me. And I preached every night before the days of the radio and television or nighttime. I preached every night there at the house. My mom and dad gave me an assignment for verses to use and look up the meaning of those words and so forth and so on. As a result of that, when I went to school, I could take courses that were a little more than just the freshman courses there at Freedheart. And Brother Gardner and Brother Dixon thought that I had a gift too. And as a result of that, they invited me to come back to Freedheart and teach there. And I wanted to be just a gospel preacher. My mom reminded me that way, and I wanted to help the people in Mississippi. And so I came back to Mississippi to preach the gospel. I was a young man at that time. I weighed, Miss Jane and I just got married, and I weighed all of 125 pounds. That would change. She had changed me another 40 pounds after that time. But anyway, it was that way. And I was 18 years old, and I was the preacher at Louisville. My dad said, they're not going to hire you, a young man, if that's an old church down there, a lot of people down that way. But they love the preaching of the word. And they didn't look at the age so much. They looked at my size the whole time. Mighty young, mighty young. That's what Brother Williams and Brother White talked about all that Sunday afternoon as they walked the floor in the dog trot of the house. They thought, he preached well this morning. The people want us to hire him, but he's mighty young now, though. Mighty young. Mighty young, Jeff. They kept talking to one another that way. I finally said, yes, son, y'all, you don't have to walk the floor about this decision. I said, I'll come and preach when you don't have somebody here. But I'll look elsewhere and go somewhere else. And they said, oh, no, don't do that. The people would really be at us about that. They really would want us to hire you here. And so they let me come back the next Sunday. And this 18-year-old came back the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday. For 10 years, this year, came back the next Sunday. We had a wonderful occasion. The message is the important thing. It's the teaching of the Lord's Word. And somebody who can preach the Word of the Lord, teach the Word of the Lord, is appreciated and thus used. We're talking about a message that came from heaven, a one who came down from heaven, the God of heaven. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22, it is said regarding God that he has stretched forth the heavens as a curtain. When God, who lives in heaven, set forth the heavens and the earth, he set forth the heavens that are stretched upon and hung upon nothing. You ever thought about the suspension of the clouds that you see come about? Well, they grow a little darker in the day. We really pay attention to them, but they're always. They're always a part of that firmament and that expanse. What holds them there? Well, you know that when you get up so high and everything, you got to take an oxygen mask with you to breathe the oxygen that you have. You don't have enough air up that way. What holds those clouds like that? Isaiah said regarding the Lord that he has stretched forth the heavens as a curtain. What has he done to your life and mine? There's a passage found in the reference of Psalm 92 and verse 14. It is said regarding those that grow older in life, led that song about growing old from that idea. When we grow older in life, what we find is that we will, who serve the Lord and are followers of God, we will grow fat and be filled with strength. I don't particularly like the King James Version of that passage saying we shall grow fat. And I looked it up and saw that more recent translations of that passage of Scripture have said, we shall be like green withes. Brother Ferguson, Brother Les Ferguson Sr., likes to preach this lesson. And he brings with him into the pulpit, he brings with him a dried twig that is easily broken. You can hear it creak, crack as it breaks. But he says, we that are growing old in the Lord, following his righteous cause, are like a green withe. And he pulls out another that is a just freshly cut branch. And it bends It doesn't break. It doesn't crack. It doesn't hear the sounds that the dried out piece of wood does. This is the likeness of which God is saying there in Psalm to David in Psalm 92 in verse 14. He shall grow old and be as fat, be as a green withe. Flexible, usable, serving God's cause. And it's a cause that is said to be served in our New Testament, which we read from many verses this morning, from heaven itself. That's the message. When I mentioned to you this morning the need for us to be baptized into Christ, a semblance of our faith put into practice, when Paul writes regarding the brethren in Rome in that regard, he tells them, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we are raised also to walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be enslaved unto sin." This is a message from heaven. It's not my message to present to you. It's not my will for your life. It is God's will for all of us responsible people to follow him. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be enslaved unto sin. He goes on there in Romans 6 to say the following: "But God be thanked, that whereas you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." We're talking about a message that has come down from heaven. It's a message of the Heavenly Father for you and me. It's a message through the death of Jesus Christ, his burial and his resurrection, that we are thereby buried in water and raised to walk a new life. Symbolism for sure. A symbolism that is a command of our Lord, Paul says, for we've obeyed him and followed his right way, and that's the way that we should do it. But we find ourselves looking at heaven itself. We find ourselves looking at the place of God's dwelling. We find the one who came down from heaven. We find the message that is delivered from heaven. We find the message of the heavens being close to the heart of God in stretching forth the heavens as a curtain. He found himself doing that. Let's think about this as we think about heaven itself, and we look at the work that Stephen was doing in Acts chapter 7 and verse 56. Stephen is teaching the word of the Lord, but he is being despised by those of the Sanhedrin council and those that are opposing the message of Christ Jesus. And so they grab him. They drag him out to a field that has a number of large stones placed upon it. Paul at that time is a young man, Saul of Tarsus. And he is obliged to stand there and not pick up and throw those heavy stones at Stephen. But he is obliged to just hold their garments in safety, let no one steal them or steal what's inside the garment. And he is thereby a counsel for their garments, holding their garments as Stephen is stoned to death. He'll refer to that later on in Acts 22 and 23, that he did that. when Stephen is hit with those stones. Being stoned to death creates bruises within the muscle of the body. Enough of that bruising creates blood clots that eventually go to the brain and to the heart and take the life of that individual who is being stoned to death. In Acts 17:7 and verse 56, he is close to death, and he is able now, by the good blessing of God, to look beyond the curtain, beyond the clouds. He looks beyond them and he sees Jesus standing beside the Father at the throne in heaven. All other scenes of the throne and Jesus say that he's sitting upon the throne. He's ruling. He's in authority. He's sitting upon the throne. But at this scene on earth, Jesus is standing at the throne. No, he'll not come and bring his angels with him and deliver out of the kingdom all that offend and commit iniquity at that moment in time, as you read in Matthew 13. He'll await the Heavenly Father's command, go and do this. One day he'll come from heaven, and he'll be here. And the scripture tells us the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall go to meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I wonder, in your life and mine, are there times that Jesus in heaven stands for something going on with us? So in this lesson today, how close are we to heaven? We're as close as our prayer to the Heavenly Father. We're as close as the one who came down from heaven. We're as close as his right teaching was given, and the Holy Spirit's teaching was given to the apostles. We're as close as the message that came from heaven to the brethren at Corinth was being served. We're as close as we can possibly be to heaven itself. For we're reminded of it all the time that we think about the presence of God, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you subject to Jesus' invitation today?